Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, from the road, you can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, and send us a message that way. Either way, it works for us. Just get a hold of us. We'd love to have a conversation with you.
Oh, Ship, Jesus Christ.
Ship, tell us about the voicemail line while you're playing with your phone.
A voicemail line. Short story, anything you've seen on the road. I can't believe it keeps doing it.
Yeah, I know. It's just all by itself.
515-585-6375. 515-585-MERK. Short story, anything you might have seen, crazy, wacky, stupid. Leave a voicemail. We'll play them.
We
will.
At
the beginning of the shows.
At the beginning, at the end, we'll figure it out. We will get it on the show one way or the other. It's going to get attached. If you have, if you find yourself in need of any kind of, preparedness stuff, you know where to go. Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. If they don't have it, you don't need it. We say it every week. If, that's just the way it is. They have 30-year coffee, 25-year food. And anything else you could think of that you might need, water purification, air filtration, yada, 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 right? Right, Ship?
Yeah, sure.
Tell them about Buy Me a Coffee.
Buy me a coffee. keep us fueled at buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Virtual tip jar if you like what we're doing. Yeah, you can buy us coffee, keep us caffeinated, keep us being able to keep bringing these shows to you.
Amen, brother.
Have at it. Take a look. You like it, do it. You don't, thanks for
That's
looking.
That's okay, yeah. But while you're at the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, take a look at the gear section. Jack's eventually going to get something done there with it. Yeah. He's telling me about it, all about it this week. So, one of these days.
I'm not going to say
that. Exactly. We'll just keep moving right along here. Yes. So,
on to the show.
Shipper, who are we talking today? Who are we talking to?
I don't know. You said some guy from
Connor. Yeah. Pull your microphone in front of your mouth.
Some guy named Connor.
Connor. Connor, how are you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me back.
It's fantastic.
That's better. Now I can hear it.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Which knob is this? Whoa.
Well, we're doing okay.
I'll be right there. We're doing
okay.
We were.
Yeah. It's, you know what? You just have to be here to experience this. Anyway, it is really good to talk to Connor. I know I asked you before, but how was your holiday? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I actually got to spend it at home. I wasn't on the road this year, so.
Oh, that's awesome. That's nice. Yeah, it is nice. That's a nice change. Have things picked up for you since COVID or throughout COVID?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, it's full-fledged. Like, we're wide open now. I'm lucky to have a little break right now, but pretty much since like the summer of 21, late summer, we've been wide open.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. There was some growing pains and some new rules and regulations to get used to and stuff, but we're back, we're rocking and rolling.
Good deal. That's awesome. And just remind everybody what it is that you do, because we're going to get into that.
I drive entertainer coaches, meaning if you go to a concert and you see the, you know, the big shiny tour buses that the artists drive around in, mm-hmm. that's what I do. I drive those, keep everybody safe and comfortable as we travel through the night to get to the next city.
That's awesome, man. That is really cool. That's a cool. That is,
oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to tour bus. All right. I thought he was driving the equipment. Okay. Never mind.
No. He's driving the bus part.
Okay.
Yeah, we do a little bit of that too. I mean, I have a Class A combination, so I can pull a trailer behind the bus for small productions, or sometimes just merchandise, or sometimes they'll just get some get creative. One of my clients has they have a semi trailer for all their equipment, and then one of the trailers behind the bus is for workout equipment. They like to train and box and exercise bikes and stuff like that, and it all fits in nice road cases, and we slide it right in the trailer on the bus.
Okay,
that's really cool. Yeah, what the heck? That's awesome.
That
has got to be an interesting life.
Yeah, when I was up in Allentown, there at the PP&L Center, you know, going to the lawyer, I used to see these guys rolling in, you know, the trailers rolling out, and I'm thinking to myself, where in the hell are they putting these things?
Right,
you know. They, you know, and especially the PP&L Center, you literally get in there, dump your shit, and you got to move.
Right.
Because I don't think they can stay there. And then they come back when the concert's over and load up.
And hit the road. Get out of Dodge.
Yeah. Because these guys were pulling out like it was, what time was I up there? It was, you know, I was stalking the lawyer's office at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Because it's Allentown. You have to get prime parking.
You got to get there early. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just weird watching them roll down Hamilton Street. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's so anyway, where have you been traveling? Who have you been riding around with, Connor? Like, if we can ask.
We've been all over. You know, the first, I forget when it ended. It was a little over a year. Getting in and out of Canada was kind of weird with the vaccine stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And then one day it all just went away.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, we've been all over the place.
That's cool.
I could find a more accurate list of everyone I've driven, but I just came off a tour with a group called the Suicide Boys. They're a big hip hop group.
Huh.
We don't do a ton of rap, but these guys are really great. They're, you know, very humble. They're very, it's very family and friends oriented. A lot of the guys that work for them are people that, you know, like I started when, you know, we were in a van and then a little RV and then, you know, sharing hotel rooms and stuff, and people who kind of maintain that work ethic up through the ranks is kind of cool to work for.
Yeah, cool. Definitely. Yeah. That is. That's neat. That is just, you know, it's one of those jobs that, like, you wonder how in the world you get into that, you know, how do you get a job like that? And, you know, I think it's just an interesting job because I think that would be cool to drive other people around like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, any of the crew positions on a tour, if you ask them, it's like, how did you get into doing this? It's like, I don't know, man, wrong place, wrong time. You know, it's like, I had a friend who was in a band. I had just lost my job and they asked me to do this, and then it just became my career.
Right.
And you know, one thing leads to another and you just keep saying yes to stuff, and before you know it, you're working in these arenas and stadiums for, you know, big national acts.
Right.
See, I always thought too, like these, you know, music venues that go out. Uh-huh. I mean, the buses and everything, they're, how can I say it? They're with the group. They're the groups, not that it's a separate entity. Like, you know, Joe's, you know, XYZ travel agency, and you know, they'll supply the buses and everything. I didn't know that at all.
Right. It used to be that way before there was a lot of DOT regulations and stuff. You'd have some band and they'd buy an old Greyhound bus or something with a million miles on it.
Right.
Okay.
You gut out the interior and build their own bus, and you know, the bass player would drive or something like that.
Okay.
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, I think of the movie Slapshot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walter.
Yeah, the Hanson's driving.
What are you doing, Walt? Making it look mean.
Yeah.
I know those. I know those days are over, but you know, it's just one of those things that that's what pops in your head sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And, but nowadays with all the DOT regulations and the cost of a proper bus is, you know, I just got into a brand new bus that was $1.1 million.
Wow.
So, you know, for a band that works, makes a living on the road, for them to have a depreciating asset like that.
Right.
You know, just to tour in, you know, by the time you make your money back, the thing's got 500,000-600,000 miles on it.
Yeah. Time to start looking for a new one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my word.
Well, that's what you call a tax write-off.
Yeah. What they call that.
Well, that's where we come in. You know, we've got a fleet of them in a shop that maintains them and professional drivers.
Right.
And, you know, we provide that service, and then it's a write off for them.
Right. Yeah.
They're like the Bieber company just for tours.
Right. I can't imagine having to get into the venues you got to get into. I because most of those places are usually downtown, right? I mean, they're usually in the city downtown. I can't imagine that most of them are on the outskirts.
Well, I'm thinking Philadelphia is the only one that comes to mind that has a lot of room.
You know, and that's only because it's outside of the city.
The Wells Fargo Center, right. And that, you know, the Link or whatever. But I mean, everything else.
There's Philly's got a lot of tight ones too, like the TLA, Theater Living Arts, Union Transfer. Kind of mid-size, like 500 to 2,000 capacity clubs.
Right.
Okay.
Where when you're working with a band that size, it's not gonna have loading docks. It's gonna be like here, kind of back into this alley.
Right.
Like the Fillmore. Fillmore down in Philly's like that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That has just got to be crazy. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, man. It's amazing. It's amazing to do a job like that. I just find it fascinating. That is a fascinating job.
So he's like a combination of everything.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get this truck and bus in there, and everything goes inside.
Yep.
I don't do inside deliveries or anything. You know, it's like weird.
Not happening. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's amazing.
You do kind of have to be a jack of all trades. I mean, the driving a lot of the times is the easy part, and you might have a 10-hour drive, and you got to do some crazy maneuver in a city to park a bus at a venue or a hotel or something.
Right.
But once you pull the parking brake, that's kind of when the work starts. It's like, all right, now I got to clean up and, you know, do any maintenance on this thing. You're a little bit plumber, a little electrician, a little carpenter, and then a little bit diesel mechanic too.
So. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
It all ties in.
Oh my word. That's kind of cool though. You know, it's like, and the people that you get a chance to meet, you know, I can imagine just the people that you're driving around and just even the, you know, getting into the venues and getting to meet the people at the venues and that kind of stuff. It just seems fascinating to me, you know?
Oh yeah. There's the people that work behind the scenes in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Like I always say, like, these are my kind of people. You can always pinpoint the ones that kind of had some questionable past and like, hey, I just ended up here and I'm doing a great job.
Right.
You know, maybe they do the pyro or something for a huge tour, or the lights or lasers or whatever, or security. You know, the security guys are cool as hell.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of, yeah.
Those are my type of people that they like to see the show go on. Uh-huh. You look out in the crowd, you see thousands of people having a great time. And it's because of what you did, you know, between the night before and when doors open up.
Right.
That made it all happen. So
that was my next question. What kind of time frame, you know, advance, like I'll say it, advanced landing do you guys get? I mean, is it virtually the day before the actual show is going to go, or, you know, you're three, four, five days ahead?
We do a lot of stuff that's back to back to back.
Oh, okay.
Depending on the cities and how long the drive is and then how big the production is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do Boston to New York to Philly to DC, all, you know, four in a row.
Wow.
Because the drives are short.
Right.
We can load up a bunch of semi trucks or bus trailers We can be out the door, you know, if the concert ends at 11 p.m., mm-hmm. we can be out the door by 1 or 2 a.m. once wow. they've got it down and wow. how everything's packed, it's down to a science. And then you drive a couple hours, you get fuel or, you know, a cup of coffee or whatever,
right.
pull it into the next city. And then they start all over again at 8 a.m., start unloading the trucks and setting up the dressing rooms and the stage and all that.
Wow. It's just amazing. I mean, when you think of everything gets broken down, everything is you know, but, you know, it's
everything's broken down. Everything's in this specific box.
Yeah.
It's organized chaos is what it is.
You don't think about it when you're in the, you know, when you're in the seats watching the concert, but
right.
you might look down at your watch and go, you know, 11 p.m., the show's over.
Right.
At 11:01, they're scrambling to get road cases and trucks backed into docks and get everyone out of the building.
Yeah.
You know, one of my, sometimes when I do drive the artist versus driving the crew, we'll do what's called a runner, which is like, they walk off stage, you know, roadie hands them a towel.
Mm-hmm.
They towel off and they're on the bus and we're getting a police escort out of there before the, you know, the crowd's even out of their seats.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding. That fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Leave everything else for the rest of the crew to do their.
Sure. I mean, I guess that gets you an opportunity. You know, you're on your way before the crowd is on their way, before all those streets get all blocked up and everything, you know, with everybody trying to get going. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, that, you know, if it were me, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Every once in a while, going across the pike, uh-huh. you'll see them pull in.
Yeah.
I see them at Somerset a lot. They stop. You know, and at a point, you know, it's a tour bus, right. you know, the guys walking it and some of the guys get off the bus too.
Right.
You don't bother asking who the hell they are.
Oh yeah. Nature calls or,
right.
you know, even as long as some artists have done this, they've made a career out on the road. They still go, oh, we had a truck stop. I want to go in and buy it. You know, a toy or a candy bar or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when you think about that, you know, but it's neat, you know, mm-hmm. it's just neat. It's a fascinating thing. So how was the weather like the past couple of years for you guys? I mean, I know, you know, with what we had as far as, you know, especially the wintertime weather, you know, that's the, I would imagine that like any driving job, that's the hardest time.
Well, they're probably usually scheduled in the south and southwest, you
know, in
the wintertime.
Yeah. That's true. It's a good point.
A lot of bands just flat out avoid it. The ones that do tour in the winter for extended periods of time, you know, they'll work around it. You know, they're not going to be upset with you if you're late, as long as everybody gets there safely.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, because I mean,
I've ran into a few situations, and I've never been put in a situation where I felt like I shouldn't be driving.
That's good.
Usually the state will shut the highways down.
Right.
Because I grew up in it. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts. I drive in the snow all the time.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You know what it's like.
I'm a little more confident in my abilities than what, you know, they're shutting down the highways. I can get out, walk around and go, I can feel under my feet. I could still drive.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the thing is when your main cargo is human beings, you know, you just want to be safe, you know,
right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, that would make perfect sense to me that they would schedule that type of stuff either down south in the wintertime or just, you know, mostly spring, summer, fall.
Right. The thing that pops in my head is up on 380, what was it, mid 80s, early 90s with the band, Miami Sound Machine.
Oh yeah, when they had the accident up there. Yeah,
she had that. Yeah, I mean they were standing still and they got ass ended by a truck.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. You that's know. A while ago. Holy cow, we're old, dude.
I know. I mean, stupid shit driver, rattles. Stupid. It's just rattling around in my head.
The driver of that bus that pulled that pulled Gloria Estefan out of the bus. He just passed away over COVID.
Oh
but
no.
He was a really well known driver in the industry. Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. That's a shame. Was it, how old was he? An older guy, or
he would be old by now.
Yeah. Well, by now, but
60s, early 70s.
Wow. Yeah. Holy cow.
But, yeah.
You know, the thing is, like, you realize it's been a while, but you don't think how long that's been. You know, but yeah, I guess that you know, holy crap. Wow, that's a shame. That's really a shame. I sorry for his family there. You know.
And I actually did. I did this earlier this year. I did a tribute. Well, it wasn't a tribute. I guess it was a musical about Gloria Estefan's life.
Oh, really?
And that was a pivotal part of it. That was in part of the show. You know, it was a Broadway musical.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
That's really cool. So,
but yeah, they
brought stuff up that was relevant represented to the show.
That pretty well.
that's actually really neat. Now, were you involved in the production? Were you involved in the actual the doing of the show, or you know?
No, I drove the crew. Okay. So it was like a show like that. There's a lot of dancers, a lot of musicians. There's so many of them that they ride on a regular bus with seats. And I've got a sleeper coach with 12 beds. I've got the crew.
Wow.
And it's just like any other concert. They start setting up at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
For a 6 PM show.
Holy cow.
So for them to travel and do back-to-back shows, they got to sleep on the bus.
Yeah.
The artists, the performers, they're going to get off stage, get on their seated coach, go to a hotel and leave the next morning and drive during the day. I'll drive overnight.
Okay. Yeah because so you got to get the
crew can sleep and then get their jobs done.
Yeah. You got to get them there for the morning. Yeah. So they're sleeping while you're driving. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, like I said, that's a neat job and I'm totally fascinated with it. So has anything since things have kind of picked back up and you're back to things, what kind of schedule has it been for you? Like throughout, I imagine your summertime and you know, spring and summer is the big time, but yeah, how's things looked for you?
The last couple of years I've gone out either the end of January, early February, and I'll work straight through till the first week of June. And then I'll get about a week or 10 days off.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm back out till, you know, Thanksgiving pretty much. So, yeah.
Holy cow. That's not much, you know.
So he gets like 2 months a year off.
Right.
He might get 8 weeks vacation out of a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, absolutely. Man. Well, I'm glad that you guys have gotten back to work and that things have, you know, kind of normalized and everything's, I mean, yeah, you see all these big tours, you know, like what's that girl's name? Taylor Swift. Yeah, she's got her big tour going and, you know, all that stuff.
She's from right down the road here.
I know. I was reading an article this morning about how people in Kutztown were buying the Taylor Swift collector edition thing for her concert or for her, whatever, her new album. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine, do you get to pick and choose the people who you're going to, who you'd like to drive for? Like, does, you know, I mean, like I guess in my head, I think about it, like, do they have a board where they put all the names of the tours that are going out and you get to, you know, you can pick the one you want to do, or are they assigned to you? Shipper, you're looking at me like I'm goofy.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, you're thinking this is like line haul. Yeah. I'd like to do a Somerset on a Friday. No.
I want a short run on a Friday.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Connor.
No, the short answer is yes, I can pick and choose, but my general philosophy is wide open, man. If it's when it's time to work, keep me busy. When it does slow down, you know, let me go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our boss is good about, you know, placing drivers with the right clients and keeping drivers as busy as they want to be. So it always ends up working out. There'll be certain clients that'll insist we want that bus and that driver every time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's good.
And then he can work around that too.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, as far as, you know, if say for instance Kyle's into a specific genre. Connor.
I know. We have so many conversations, but yes, it's okay.
You know, he doesn't like this genre. He can just say, yeah, I just like to go with that. But then also on the flip side, you know, the people that he's taken around and they like the guy, they request him on the next time. Yeah.
And two is, you know, like you were saying, you want to keep yourself as busy as you can. Right. You know, when it's time to work, it's time to work. And, you know, when it's break time, when it's time to be home, you know, and have that rest break, you know, enjoy it and then get back to it when it's time to get back to it. So I feel like I always want to be at home on a rest break. Yeah. You know, that's the age I'm at, you know,
I told you before.
Well, and that's part of my thing too, is I live in Massachusetts. I think last time we spoke, I just bought a house up here.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
But my company is in Atlanta, and a lot of this industry is in, you know, there's a couple companies in Florida. There's there's a bunch in Nashville. And there's a few on the West Coast, but there's definitely none in Massachusetts. So
that's a hell of a commute
going down there.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, make it worth my while. I don't want to do these short little week runs or weekend run and then have to go home.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get down there, I'll work for 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'll get a few days off and then they'll maintain the bus, clean it and do whatever they got to do. And then, you know, I'm back out with a new client.
That's really cool.
On the next show.
Yeah. And I imagine then too, just the way you said that there in my own head, it's like, so you have the same bus for an extended period of time. Like you're not changing equipment all the time. It's, you know, you kind of get into one. And
like I said, I just got assigned to a brand new bus.
Right.
I'll probably be in it for 2 years.
That is a heck of a price tag on that bus, dude. Holy cow.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in your head, you have to imagine what that's got to look like. But on think the inside.
Of it. It's,
you
know, got all the bells and whistles of home.
That's what I mean. It's like, it's home on wheels, man. That is amazing. Wow. I had no idea. I mean, go ahead.
Just the empty shell, just the empty bus with nothing but a driver's seat in it and plywood walls. You're looking at $600,000-$700,000 just for that.
Wow.
And then you spend another, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 building it.
But like the house. Yeah, exactly. Putting the interior,
putting the furniture.
Who would figure that? Yeah. You know, something the size of a bus would cost on the inside all the accoutrements and all that stuff would cost as much as building a house, really. You know, but it does. I mean, I can imagine because everything's got to be special fitted. I imagine, you know, because it's a smaller area that you're trying to fit with all these things. You know, so
yeah, one of the builders we work with. I've seen them, you know, in the middle of the process of building a bus. What they have to do is take the windshield out and slide everything through there so it doesn't have to be cut up into a million pieces.
Yeah.
Wow. I never even thought about how you get this stuff in.
There you are. Raymore Flanagan isn't delivering a couch to your bus. Right, that's for sure.
Holy, this is not an Ashley Furniture thing. My word. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, how else are you going to get everything in? Yeah. You know, wow. That explains a lot.
Take the windshield out and move it all in.
Oh, my word.
I don't like that color. Okay, take the windshield back out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, it's just it's a fascinating thing. It is such a fascinating job because of the people that you get a chance to meet, the people you get to spend time with, and just what you're doing. You know, I mean, that, like I said to you before, it's just one of those jobs that you think about. And you wonder, and at the same time, it's like, you know, crazy because of what your schedule is like. You know, you're literally like, we come home every day, you know, as drivers, we're home every day, but for what you're doing, you're out for, you know, like you said, 6-8 weeks at a time or more, you know, where you're out for extended periods of time. And, does that get taxing on you at all? Or have you gotten used to it that, you know, you're used to kind of having that lifestyle?
Yeah, there's good enough balance. You know, you can be in the middle of a tour and be feeling really burnt out, and you get a day off somewhere, and you can just walk away from the bus and all the people.
Right.
And then the next day, it's like, oh, all right, good to see you guys. Back to work.
Yeah.
Your batteries get recharged.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know.
Sometimes that's all it takes is just a good day off, day off.
Because being the new. Being the people persons that Shipper and I are, you know, I don't know how, like, because when I, it's just, you know, in thinking about, when you think about you, you know, you're around the crew and the band and everybody's like all together a lot. So it's like, you don't get that decompression time as often. So yeah, I mean, I can imagine you get a break for a day and you can just walk away and kind of decompress and let your brain kind of unwind and, you know, because you know, people are people, no matter how you slice it. Yeah. And if you're not a people person, that ain't a job for you, you know, which, you know, it wouldn't be for me.
Yeah, so I guess you kind of can say that he kind of looks for, you know, couple days shows in a row type of thing, where once it's set up, okay, I got a couple days off before I have to get back then. So
that's one of everybody's favorite things, when they can do back-to-back shows in the same city.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, you only get to work half as hard. We'll load in once and load out once.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know what? When I think about what you do, I think of the Jackson Browne song called Load Out. I don't know if you ever heard it. I'm sure you've had to have heard that song, doing what you do for a living. And if you haven't, just look it up. It's literally about what you do. And you know, he's kind of in a song version, he's thanking the roadies and everybody for everything that they do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never knew the name of the song.
It's called Load Out. Load Out. Yes. And that's what I think about. And the first time we had a conversation with you, I thought about that song, and I think about that song now. I was sitting here, and I'm like, I think that's, it's just something that's fascinating. I don't know how I've said it 1,000 times to you. I know I have, but I don't know what else, you know, it's like one of those things that's like, I am fascinated by
it's
that.
It's kind of like synchronized swimming, but a little different.
But a lot more moving parts.
Exactly. And you're not getting wet.
No. If anything gets wet, it's done.
Yeah.
It's really good. So, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, does that stuff happen? Where, like, you know, somebody got the equipment wet or it's raining or whatever and something happened. And
only at the outdoor concerts.
I'm curious because, I mean, it's just, human, just whatever happens in life, you're doing a job and, stuff happens. I'm kind of curious about that.
You'll see, even at a small club where people are walking around with beers in their hands, that stuff is going to be, bike racked off or caged off a little bit. So try to minimize that. And, whoever's in charge of it, actually monitoring the sound and stuff, they're going to notice if there's a drink, placed on the edge.
Right.
And try to not do that. The outdoor venues, it's always a risk you take with the weather and stuff. But
yeah, I mean, I guess, they do the best they can to keep everything as dry and, do they keep extra equipment along just in case something happens, in case they blow an amp or whatever,
They do. And a lot of bands will rent stuff just for the tour so that they can fall back on something if something breaks.
Oh, okay. You get the warranty.
Not their own personal thing.
Right.
You mentioned the Taylor Swift tour was so big.
Right.
Part of what makes it so big is they leapfrog each other. So she has twice the amount of everything. And while they're setting up the show, say the whole thing takes 3 days, a day to set it up, a day to do the show, and then a day to tear it all down.
Okay.
While that's happening, say she's got 20 trucks in one city, 20 trucks have already moved on to the next city and they've already started setting up.
Wow.
Yep.
That has got to, that's got to be a huge
kind of like NASCAR,
only different.
Yeah. Only different.
only NASCAR is not quite as big.
No, but I mean, they get done on a circuit going east. I mean, these guys,
it's what they do.
They still have tour buses pulling pulling the drivers around too.
Right.
Some of the guys are on the tour buses, they're doing the East Coast thing and next race is in California. Well, the guy from Florida isn't driving right out to California.
Right.
That crew already left 4 days before, the race in Florida was over to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too when he was talking, posing the question. I was thinking they had two different setups.
That's fascinating. Cause who knew? Yeah. I didn't know. That's what I mean. That's such a big, like the Taylor Swift thing is right now, that's the big tour.
Right. Right.
That's the whatever, it's just enormous. And, that makes, now that you said it, it makes perfect sense in my head. Like, you'd have to do that, because there's so much involved in it. I can't imagine what something like that's got to cost for just, equipment and setup and teardown. It's like, oh my word, crazy, crazy expensive. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
But they said about that Taylor Swift tour, that actually changed the economy in certain cities where just in restaurants and hotels and Ubers and everything, everything goes up the days that she's in town.
No kidding. it's like Christmas. You know?
Well, yeah, it's like all of a sudden
it's like Black Friday.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a rolling economy. I've seen it on the news where, you know, fans were lined up just to buy, merchandise.
Yeah.
Before the concert was even going on. Yeah. They're like a day before too. Yeah.
Wow. God bless them. You know, it's fantastic. It's an awesome thing. Just seeing something like that. How many trucks are involved in something like that? Like tractor trailers and then her buses and all that stuff, you know, like that.
Well, actually, Taylor Swift, I think, had around 50 trucks, but that's, you know, two of everything.
Right.
So she probably had 20 to 25
per show.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge.
Believe it or not, she didn't use buses. The only people on the tour that used buses was catering. I think they had one or two.
Oh, no kidding. Everybody else staying in hotels.
You're sitting in a city for 3 or 4 days at a time.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to get a hotel room anyway. There's no need to have the buses parked there and bus drivers getting paid.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
They'll fly everybody and just get them into hotels while they're, and they'll use a local charter company to bring everybody back and forth to work. But
gotcha. Wow. It's just fascinating. It's a neat way that, you know, things that you don't know, you kind of wonder what it's like in that industry and in that business. And it's like, wow, there you go. That, you know, answers my questions.
So. Yeah. Literally you can say, you need this in LA when?
Right.
Oh, I could be there in 5 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Those are the good old days, the paper log days.
Yeah. Amen, brother. We're all missing. How does that work out for you? I didn't even think about, you know, you having to log that, but yeah, you were saying about, you know, the DOT and everything. I didn't even, like, in my head, I'm like, I didn't even think about the ELDs for you. How does that work out?
Yeah.
I mean, has that hindered your ability to, not that you were ever dishonest on your paper logs or anything like that.
I can tell you this.
Like every driver, it's, you know,
he doesn't use the yard moves key.
He's got one big yard. No, it was from New York to LA.
Yeah, it was a big change because historically the way we get paid is we get a daily rate for every day that the bus is on the road, the driver goes with it. We could double that rate by driving a certain amount of miles.
Okay.
And then we could double it again by driving more miles and more. And then that increment kept getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
So you would do like 450 or 500 miles. Mm-hmm. You'd get a second day's pay. At 600, you'd get another day's pay. At 700, you'd get another day's pay, and you can go on from there.
Wow.
So
wow.
there were all these drives that we were doing all the time.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, the band would just give you cash on the road. You know, can we do Denver to Las Vegas? So it's 670 miles. Yeah, I can do that.
Right.
Hold my beer.
But you're driving a bus with people sleeping on it through the mountains.
Right.
You know, you're not making it. Well, a bus can drive 10 hours. Passenger vehicles are 10 hours.
Oh, okay.
You're not making it in 10 hours. You know, San Francisco to Portland, Oregon with, you know, if you're pulling a trailer behind the bus,
mm-hmm.
you're not making that in 10 hours.
Wow.
But we used to do it all the time and we didn't even think about it. Then when the e-logs came out,
mm-hmm.
we started running into problems like, hey, I've done this drive 100 times and I said I made it in 10 hours, but I guess I didn't. I never did.
Right.
And now then you're in a situation where when they're booking the tour, they got to factor in flying out a second driver just for one day.
Wow. Wow. But yeah, because it's like, why is the hours of service, your drive time shorter in driving passenger vehicles? Like the bus.
I'm not sure why, but we can do 10 hours straight. We don't have to have any
you don't
break.
Have to. Okay. Maybe that's why. Maybe, you know, because you don't have to have a.
Yeah. And then we need eight hours off, you know, plus a 15 minute pre-trip or whatever. So
wow. See where we need 10.
We need 10 hours off.
That's right. Yeah.
And we have the half hour lunch that we have to take. So yeah. So
they match it up.
Huh. But still, I mean, that, you know, that extra hour of drive time, you know, 65 miles an hour, you know, or
however fast the bus is traveling.
I was going to say 65. Yeah. That bus is practically parked.
Standing still.
Yeah.
You see some of those buses coming back from the casinos at night? They're not doing the 65. They're rolling past me at 83.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, boy.
Well, that's a delicate dance. I mean, you want to be as smooth as possible because you got people sleeping.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if they're not sleeping, they're standing back there with a drink in their hand. You know, you don't want to hit the brakes or speed up too fast and you hear something fly off the countertops back there and, you know, it's something I got to clean up the next morning.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing I didn't think about was just, you know, the
housekeeping.
Just having to actually be cognizant of other people being on the bus.
Right.
You know, you can't just, you know, like you said, you can't just hit your brakes or, you know,
yeah.
Do any, you know, the jarring maneuvers.
The seatbelt sign is off.
They are moving about the cabin. So again, those are the problems and those are the things that you don't think about as drivers. You know, we're the only people in our, you know, we're the only passenger.
Right.
You know, but for you, it's, you know, for you, Connor, it's like, you know, you got people all around you. You're dealing with and having people walking around the bus and eating and drinking and, you know, talking or sleeping. You know, so everything is, you've got to be cognizant of that. I think that probably makes a really, you know, that's one of those things that can make a good bus driver or not so much a lot good bus driver, you know.
Even when it comes down to, you know, the hum of the engine, where you set your cruise control to 70 miles an hour, they're falling asleep to that, you know, going down the road at that speed. Mm-hmm. If you start speeding up and slowing down and they hear the turbo start whining and, you know, that's.
Yeah, becomes disruptive.
They wakes them up, and you know, what's our driver doing up there? Are we in the mountains or
know? Yeah, I can
hear the Jake brake kick in, and
I'm sure the Jake brake's not loud.
Yeah, I would hope not.
It's not straight pipes.
Wake up,
everybody!
Right, exactly. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game with that.
Yeah, it's a whole different animal, man. Just, that's the fascinating thing about driving is that there's so many aspects to it. There's so many facets to this job. You know, whether you're a logger and, you know, doing, you know, the beaver slide that you know, we were hearing about last week, or, you know, You're driving bus and whether you're a passenger bus or like Connor here doing the tour buses and stuff like that. I mean, there's just so many different things to do in this industry. Yeah. You know, it's not just
LTL. He must get a hell of a tip when he's running across Pennsylvania, you know.
If he can make it across and not disturb the people with the roads here.
And doesn't spill a drink going across, a bonus.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Or just, you know, just waking everybody up with all the potholes and bumps that he's running over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing to consider, too. I mean, being up in the Northeast, you know, you've got options, but you need to kind of play which road is the best. Am I in such a time crunch that I'm going to take the George Washington Bridge?
Right. Never.
Or can I make it an extra, you know, 30 minutes, make it a much smoother ride, but go all the way around the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Right.
To get from, you know, Philly to Boston or whatever.
Yeah.
You can consider stuff like that. And if you do your job right, the people don't know the difference other than they slept well.
Right.
Yeah. And I guess I was, you know, you brought it up and it's one of those questions that's in my head that I was going to get to. Do you get to plan out your trip? Like, do you, as the driver, as the routing and everything goes, you know where you have to go, but do you get to actually look at the maps and figure out, okay, this is the way I would like to go. And knowing and having done this for, you know, however, I don't know how many years have you been doing this now, you know, to have the ideas, okay, I know where I'm going and this is the best route for me to go.
Yeah, the only time I'll bring that up to the band or the manager or whatever is if it's going to put them in that overdrive situation where they're going to have to pay me more money. I go,
gotcha.
Hey, I can get us there a little quicker or a little smoother, but it's going to add 20 miles. It's going to put us in an overtime thing.
Right.
You want to pay that extra couple $100? Sure, no problem. Or if not, we're going to be on this road with red lights and, you know, train tracks and stuff.
Right. Yeah. or the Pennsylvania term, you know, Pennsylvania rough road system that we have here. You know, it's the buckboard washboard thing we got going on here in PA. If we don't, they literally, I'm going to say this because I said it to Shipper this week. They opened up the new in Hamburg that they're redoing the bridge. They're one of the bridges on Route 78. Nobody who's listening to us knows where this is at.
Right. But check your bingo card.
Yeah. I mean, so they opened up the new lane, the two new lanes on that bridge. And I drove across them for the first time. I'm like, did they add bumps to this? Did they smooth this road out? I'm like, is this a PA bridge or what?
Yeah, think of, okay.
Bumps included. Free of charge.
Think about this. We go over the bridges and there's ski jumps.
Right.
He goes over those bumps and it's like speed. You know, we're going to launch this. So
it's just, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, they just literally just built this. It's brand new. They just opened it.
Yep.
And brand new bumps.
That part of the bridge was never there. Either was those bumps till they got there.
Till the PA crew got there and built it. Yeah. You know. The bumps are free.
Yes.
I just had to throw that in there because it was just, it was just the experience this week of going back out after Thanksgiving weekend. And it's like, there you go.
Yeah, we were all excited. It's a new smooth bridge. Not so much a lot.
It's new. It ain't smooth.
Don't worry. They'll fix that once it's all done.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they will. Yeah, they'll close it again.
They got to resurface it all. They got to resurface it, pull it up, resurface again, pull it up.
Right. Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. All right.
But anyway.
Back to Connor. So how long have you been doing this for a living? How long has this been for you?
8.5 years.
Wow.
Plus my time before that was, I was touring with bands in one capacity or another, but since I've had a CDL and I've done it professionally, it's been 8.5 years. So.
That's awesome. That is just awesome. It's, if you don't mind, how old are you? You in your 30s?
37.
There you go. That's, you got a long time to go yet. So that's a cool job. You can do that job for a long time,
Yeah. A lot of guys that get into it either get into it young or they get into it after the kids are grown up and, they were a truck driver or whatever. And they, got the kids grown up and out of the house and, hey, let me give this a shot. I can make some good money doing this. So.
Yeah. There you go. Shipper's thinking. He's like, I get into that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're virtually gone at least eight weeks at a shot,
Yeah.
Like he said. So
yeah, that's that, but that's cool. I could see that as an adult, like as an older guy, you raised your kids and it's just you and your wife now. And, you're kind of used to that.
Me and a wife.
Driving.
What are you talking about?
Well, if you
have
one.
She can stay home.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say you're taking her along.
Oh, okay.
I said you have a wife.
The kids right away, you want to bring her along? Wife. I get this slow down bit. No.
That's where it's like, I don't know. I don't know how you work with your wife. I couldn't do it. I'm sure I know there's people out there who can and enjoy it, but I couldn't do that. So, Mrs. Merkel would be, at home and she'd be happy to see me go. She'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll see you in 8.
Make it 9. Really not that important.
Take your time. If anybody else calls for a tour, go.
Make sure that direct deposit hits.
Exactly.
Can you imagine him going down the road with the bus? Air brakes, come on. I didn't get the 330 ding. We're not moving.
The bus is now stopped in the stop position.
Until the direct deposit clears. Has not been made.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that is, that's a job that I could see a young person getting into because of the type of job that it is, the clientele that you're around. Yeah, that's just, it's one of those things that I think young people are really kind of drawn to, and it makes sense that they would begin to get involved as, doing roadies and setting up and doing this, kind of getting involved in the industry and then becoming a driver or something like that. It would make sense to be a young guy. If I was young and single, 100%.
The group I was just out with, their production manager actually brought his son out for like a week.
Wow.
And he heard his son say, you know, he was goofing off in school or whatever, and his son's 14. So, you know, he's getting into high school and stuff like that. And he said, I want to do what my dad does, and do big concerts and stuff like that. And your gut instinct is to go, oh God, no, I got to get this kid on the right track. I got to get him in school. But he said, wait a minute, I make a great living. I only work about half the year. You know, I've raised this kid so far. Let me bring him out for a week, right. Let him sleep on the bus, let him meet everybody and see what this is actually like. And maybe, you know, maybe he'll make a good career out of it too.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll choose not to, but he got the experience of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. I think that's a great idea. You know, I don't know, whatever happened to doing that, and you know, with kids, you know, that you kind of get them and let them touch base with reality in the real workforce before they actually have to join the workforce.
Well, you'd have to unplug their Ataris.
Well, Atari. Yeah, your age is showing, Chip. Atari.
Well, I actually had Mattel and television.
I had Pong. But yeah, I think that, you know, I think that's cool. You know, it's funny, when Tony was young, our oldest, he wanted to go to, what was the name? Full Sail, a school down in Florida where they learned to do, like, how to work the boards, the electric.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that. Yeah. Yeah. And he wasn't old enough to go. He was like, you had to be, I think he was 17 when he graduated, and you had to be 18 to go because you had to live on your own off campus. There was no campus. So you lived so he had to be able to rent an apartment. I don't know. There was something like that. There was an age restriction for him. And he was like, and I think it just kind of took the wind out of his sails. No pun intended. Full Sail took the wind out of his sails. You know. But anyway, I think that would have been, you know, and what he's doing now, it's like that would have been, you know,
right,
extremely helpful, you know, because he's a full-time podcaster and, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, yeah, dude, it's crazy.
I think that's one of those schools where people get into it. Like, like up here in Boston, there's Berklee College of Music.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
People get into it. You know, you have to have some talent, some knowledge of music to get in, but they're really just using it to network. And right. once you've been there a couple of years, you know, you're going to get audition for a band or, you know, in some business capacity, you're going to get your foot in the door that way.
Right.
I think Full Sail University is geared towards that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do.
No, I know a lot of people that have done that, or at least started it and then ended up making a career out of it one way or another.
Right, right. So like for yourself, where do you see yourself like going in this industry? Is this something that you like doing the driving part a lot more, or do you see yourself as like some at some point? And you know, I mean, it's just a curious question. Do you see yourself moving up into management at some point, or do you like doing the driving part?
No, I think I like driving the best. When I was younger, I had a little taste of everything, you know, including playing in a band.
Uh-huh. Oh, no kidding.
But yeah, I'm most comfortable doing this.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. What did you play? Like what guitar?
I played bass guitar.
Yeah. Cool. That is really cool, man. That's neat. And I imagine you still do that. You still play it for yourself on the side, you know, just in, you know, whatever, for enjoyment.
Oh yeah.
That's good. That's really cool. Yeah. Being in the job that you're in and getting to have that time with different bands, you know, I imagine that kind of feeds that a little bit, you know, and I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, everyone got into it. Everyone got into the business through one way or another. A lot of them were musicians themselves.
Right. Right.
And once that, you know, once that dream kind of dies, it's like, oh, I got to get a real job. All I know how to do is tune guitars and, you know, travel across the country and put something together.
Right. It's such a cool job, you know?
Yeah.
I imagine you get to see some crazy things and some wild things, you know, go on the road, you know, just in driving. I mean, whenever you spend a lot of time on the road, like you do, like we do, there's always these, you know, crazy things and the stuff that it's like, and you don't, sometimes it's like, it becomes so second nature that just the things that you see that you don't even really, like they don't even make a mental, sometimes they don't even make a mental note in your head. Like they don't even put a dent in your brain. Like, you know, does that make sense? Like, because you see things, you're always on the road, you know, it's just what you do. And,
just another typical day.
Right. Right. I mean, exactly. It's just another day in PA, you know, what can you say? But, is there anything that sticks out in your head at all as far as things that you've seen, on the road, even just different people that you've traveled with, you know, that made an impression on you, you know, just some of the different stuff that you've done and seen and,
No real wild stories from the bus, you know, specifically on the bus.
Yeah.
There's always certain things, you know, as far as the touring party, whether it's one bus or, you know, 8 or 10 buses or more. There's always like, you know, there's some camaraderie and like inside jokes and stuff that kind of carry everyone over, but nothing too outrageous, you know.
Yeah,
everyone's out there to do a job. So.
Exactly. And part of my question is like, are there people who you've had an opportunity to interact with in different, you know, different bands or different groups or however that made an impression on you? That's like that person, that guy, that girl, they really have a really neat insight into this or that, or just something that impressed you about some of the, because I imagine there's gotta be people that you have come in contact with that impressed you and like made you look at life a little bit differently. Maybe just a, you know what I mean?
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yeah. Cause it is such a small industry.
Uh-huh.
When you meet someone that's been doing it a long time, you kind of just want to just sit and listen to their stories and, you know, kind of pick up on their work ethic and how they treat people and how they treat the other people on the tour.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a good story where, it was about halfway through a tour, you know, like the lighting guys and the audio guys were kind of fighting with each other.
Uh-huh.
And the production manager noticed this. And on the next off day, he said, everybody meeting at this baseball field, we're going to play softball or whatever. It's mandatory. You have to go. And just one day off away from that,
uh-huh.
you know, kind of brought everybody together and go, we're actually doing something pretty cool out here. We can set all this bullshit aside. And
it's like a tension breaker.
Someone to take that leadership and, you know, kind of rescue the whole tour. That's
awesome. Yeah. And it like Chip said, it gives you a chance to break the tension and everybody just kind of gets away from the business thing of what we're doing here. And we're just going to, a manager that could see that and go, you know, we need to just everybody needs to get away from the bus and get away from all of the work part of this and just enjoy some time together. And that should help us. And you know what? Sometimes that's all it takes. You know, it's that break that gives everybody a chance to decompress at the same time together.
And for most people, it's like, you know, it brings back into perspective, like, hey, a bad day out here on the road is, you know, it beats us sitting in an office somewhere or, you know, sitting at a computer.
Yep. Yep.
We all chose to do this for one reason or another.
Yeah. And you know that sometimes it's just realigning your perspective in what you do. Cause Chip, this week was just the week from freaking heck for me. I was just like, this is crazy. I cannot, this
time was not your friend.
It was not my friend at all this week. And it was like, everything was just, you know, and you're so frustrated. And sometimes just getting a chance to sit and talk with someone like yourself, Connor, and you said something that's like in my own head, it's like, yeah, sometimes you just need a fresh perspective on what you do, because it's like, you know, you can beat yourself to death in this job and get angry at everything.
Yeah.
Or learn to accept that this is the way, this is part of the job. And sometimes the frustration is there and you walk away from a week like this and you're like, you know,
sometimes you just got to say what the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to have a Coke and a smile.
Yes.
And shut up. Because you know what I mean? It's like, it's sometimes you just have to have that a conversation. And that's what I meant by, you know, when I was asking about, you know, how were there people who made an impression on you, you know, because sometimes you have like just having this conversation with you and I'm reflecting back on my own week this week. And it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes it's just getting that change of perspective and just saying, yeah, you know what? It's a week it's done, and it, you know, you have to move on, let it go. You know, next Monday is another week,
right?
And it's only a day away, so
the beatings will continue.
They will until the morale changes.
Yeah, and it's, we all got a little taste of that when we started coming back from COVID. One of my the first musical thing I did was I just did this quick run with the band Train.
Yeah, right.
You know, drops a Jupiter song.
Yep, right. Yep.
Picked the guys up in Atlanta, took them down to Valdosta, Georgia for one night, bringing them back to Atlanta. Pretty straightforward. And then I had the band on my bus, so I was doing a runner where as soon as they were off stage, we were going to get a police escort out of there and get on the interstate. And so me and the other driver, the driver for the crew bus, we get back early. I crank the bus up, get the air conditioner going, I'm taking the trash out. And the other driver and I are standing there, and he looks at me, he goes, "That sounds good, doesn't it?" And I look up, and just hearing a band playing live and hearing all the people singing along, I was like, "Hell yeah, man! That makes it all worth it," you know.
Definitely. I mean,
hearing the crowd singing it with the band, you know, in the back of your mind, you're saying, "We did a good show."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's like, man, we haven't done this in over a year.
Yeah,
everyone completely missed out on that. So
yeah, I don't know. I think I actually like Train, and I think they're actually a really good band. I like Patrick Monahan's voice. I think he has a really nice high tenor voice. He just sounds good. I can't imagine I've never seen them in concert, but I can imagine they must sound good in concert. You know, that's gotta be fun.
Oh yeah.
And I imagine, you know, you get to sit in on the concerts if you want, right?
Yeah. I mean, typically, unless I'm doing something like that, I'm asleep at the hotel.
Sure. Oh, that makes sense. I get you. Yeah. I get you. Because you're driving as soon as it's done. So,
right. He's the driver.
But we get called back at, you know, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And we're on the road at 2 a.m.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
If it's a short drive or like I said, sometimes we're doing back to back nights. It's nice to go check out a show.
Yeah.
And you can kind of mingle backstage. You know, I get the same credentials as anybody else.
Right.
So I can kind of walk backstage, walk out to the front of house, you know, walk where people aren't allowed to walk. And, you know, you see the guys on your bus, you see them doing their job while they're doing their job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That is really cool. You know, I don't know. I think that's probably like the most fascinating part for me is that, you know, that you're actually, you're driving around these guys, these bands, guys and women, men and women in bands and that kind of stuff that are really good at what they do, you know?
Yeah.
And so the opportunity to mingle and just have conversations with them. And I imagine they chit chat with you when you're driving and that kind of stuff. You know, somebody might come up and sit in the seat next to you and talk or whatever.
Yep.
You know,
there's always a few that like to sit up there and, you know, have a drink or a cigarette before bed, and they'll talk to you about their job or how their day went and how the concert went.
Right. That's cool.
And then, you know, just kind of staring out the windshield for some people is therapy. It helps them go to sleep.
Oh, yeah. For a lot of truck drivers, it's therapy. It helps them fall asleep. You know, how many times do we see that? You know, it's like, it is good therapy. It is because it just helps you unwind. You know, you can just kind of like release the tension and just kind of let it go, you know? So, yeah, it's cool. That is really cool.
Yeah.
What?
He's a driver. He's a therapist.
Yeah. You know,
all rolled into one.
Jack of all trades. that is really neat.
Well, and I think I mentioned at the end of COVID, when we last talked, I don't know, it was around this time of a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I ended up flying down to Texas and I drove a bus for traveling nurses.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, bringing them, keeping everybody in a bubble while they were doing COVID stuff down on the Mexican border.
Wow.
And, so add, you know, philanthropist onto the,
there you go. Yeah. <right. laughs> No, that's really cool. That is really cool, man. during a time like that, you know, everybody kind of has to come together and make it work out, you know, and do what you have to do. So that was cool that
that was a really cool thing, because a lot of the drivers were out of work entertainer guys.
Uh-huh.
And the bus company would call us and say, "Hey, I got your number from so and so. We know you're out of work. Can you spend a month down in a hotel down here driving nurses around?" You know.
Wow.
And I was like, "Sure, I can do a month. That's nothing for me."
Yeah, I was gonna say that. You know, what the heck? That's cool. That is really cool.
It ended up being 4 months that I was down there.
Wow.
Before I went back to my old job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was that was kind of a cool experience.
And how that's really neat, man. That is really cool. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Chip, any other questions?
Well, hopefully that doesn't have to ever happen again.
Oh, amen, brother. Let's not walk through that again.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Got the t-shirt off that one. Yeah. Don't need to see a sequel.
No. Because the sequels are never as good as the first.
Right. Yes. This is true.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But no, it's kind of cool to do that. Yeah. I mean, he's got the privilege checking that box off.
Yeah.
You know, most of us just drive truck and, you know, that's it. You know, we joke about, what's the difference between driving a truck and a passenger bus? You know, their freight walks off on 48 their own.
People.
Yeah.
48 backseat drivers. Right. or 52 or whatever it is.
In my world, the most I'm ever going to have on a bus is usually 12.
Right.
That's just enough. You know, you get to know everybody. Yeah. You know, you learn everybody's name. You kind of get to know them a little bit. And then, but it's not so much that it's annoying.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Where it's overwhelming and it can just become annoying. Like you said, it's a good way of putting it, because I don't know. You drive by yourself for so many years. you wonder, could I do that? Could I drive people around? I'm like, I could not do like the, you know, the Greyhound bus thing. Me personally, no.
No.
That's just, but something like what you're doing, when it comes like a retirement time, yeah, man, that might be interesting to do that, you know? I'd have to get my passenger license then.
It's 20 questions.
Is that
all it is? But I mean, that's
it's
all it was.
Easier than the hazmat.
That's all it was when I took it
100 you know, years
when,
ago
when the CDLs started coming out. Yeah, just give me everything. Okay.
Oh, you did the passenger too?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. I did everything but passenger.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I had all this. How much time? You know, back then I was young. I could comprehend. You could remember it. You know, nowadays, hell.
Yeah, I know. My memory's like my hair.
Yeah, I gotta have notes.
It's gone.
All over the place.
Yes, sir. I get it. I do. But it's cool. You know, Connor, this has been, it's been fun talking with you again and catching up with you.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to share with us at all, or anything?
There's one group I work for. I kind of want to give them a shout out.
Go for it. Yeah.
It's not a tour. It's not entertainment.
Uh huh.
But when you mention, you know, people literally living on top of each other, this is the epitome of that. I've worked for this nonprofit called Carry the Load.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is it's a relay walk that leads up to Memorial Day. And it's a way to get people actively involved in kind of what Memorial Day is all about.
Okay.
Not a barbecue, not a mattress sale,
right?
That kind of thing. And what we do, this takes a month, but the route that I do is from West Point, New York to Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And like I said, it's a relay walk. So we start walking. They take turns walking 5 miles every 2 hours. And we make our way down from New York to Dallas, Texas in a month.
Wow.
And while they're not walking, we're living on the bus.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a nice break when you're doing rock and roll and hip hop and stuff like that, and Broadway musicals and what have you, to just get a group of regular people who are volunteers. They're anyone from firefighters and medics to college students, any types of volunteers. And they all get together to do this thing, and there's five routes that all meet together in Dallas, Texas for Memorial Day.
Okay.
But that kind of, like you said, living on top of each other.
Yeah.
You don't get any more than that.
Well, that's for sure. Thing. Yeah.
But it's a really cool nonprofit. They raise money for veterans and first responders and their families, and programs that help them out with transitioning back into civilian life, sure, suicide prevention, stuff like that.
These five routes, do they all start in West Point, or is it like throughout the United States and you all end up in Dallas?
So yeah,
time?
One starts in Seattle, one okay. starts in Minot, North Dakota, one starts in Minneapolis maybe, and then there's two on the East Coast.
Okay.
But we hit all 48 states and
wow,
and bring everybody to Texas for this, for the Memorial Day rally.
That is really cool. It is really, because yeah. I really appreciate that. I think it's really cool that you do that. Because we do forget. It's so easy for us as Americans to forget what Memorial Day is all about. You know, it really isn't about the barbecue. You know, it's not about the day off. It's not about Monday, the day off.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean,
it's literally about
the greatest
something.
Generation. Most of them,
but they're
are
going.
Gone.
They're, yeah. There's so you many know. That aren't even, that aren't here anymore. So yeah. Yeah. It's really crazy. So yeah, I appreciate that you do that. You know, I appreciate that.
And like I said, for me, it's a really cool break to get away from the, you know, all the bright lights and stuff of a rock and roll tour, and kind of just meet regular people and drive through these little towns and meet, you know, families that are affected by all of that. It's a really cool thing to do.
Anymore, that's almost any town that's affected by that.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, it's not, my word. Yeah, when you think about that, that is, it's everywhere. So, yeah, that's really cool. I think that's really cool. I agree with you.
Is there a website that if people are interested, they
can donate or anything like that they could look up? Yeah, yeah. Good question.
Carrytheload.org.
Carrytheload.org.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Grab your number two crayon. Dot or G, yes.
Okay. Well, that is really cool. That is really cool, Connor. I think that's neat that you do that. Yeah. It's more than just neat. That is awesome, because we need more of that.
I try to get other bus drivers involved with it. Uh-huh. It's like, wait, you got to sleep on the bus, and you got to shower at a fire station, and all this stuff. A lot of them aren't having it, but it is really, it's a really like fulfilling kind of thing I like to do.
That's awesome.
When you guys, well, okay, I'll ask the question. You guys start out at West Point, New York. There, where do you come? Do you come through Pennsylvania at all, or do you just go right down through Jersey and then? Of course,
we do. Yeah, we do a big thing in Trevose.
Trevose,
PA. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They always put on a big show for us. The next morning, we kind of go through Philadelphia.
Yeah. That would make sense.
So a lot of people miss that because it's, you know, 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning. We're hitting that route. But
yeah, I'm just thinking how you would drive with a bus, you know, right down 70 and, you know, heading down 77. But I'm thinking you're walking. You're not on the interstate.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
You get to see all the back roads and and little town.
Yeah, which is
where people live.
Yeah, and that again, like you said, that's the kind of cool part.
Because this is how my mind goes goofy. What brings that to mind is I think one of those American Paulie's Push was the guy that pushed the serving cart. From was it New York or Boston? He went from Boston all the way out to Somerset there.
Oh, no,
where Flight 93 went down.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I told you he was down in down below Carlisle, the one day we were watching. And the same thing, he came through, you know, every little small town.
Right, all the back roads.
All the back roads and everything. And
he's police, not running down the turnpike.
Well, yeah, police gave him the escorts and everything like that. And other people met up with him, and he was taking pictures and stuff like that. But, you know, another, It's amazing the kind of stuff that happens behind the scenes you don't even see,
right?
You know, driving up and down the highway every night, every day of the week, every night of the week. And this is happening right aside of you and you don't even know it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Connor's kind of like, he's kind of got our schedule. He, you know, he's kind of a night driver, you know.
Well, he's kind of like, okay, we're leaving at 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. Doesn't matter.
Right.
You're ready to roll.
Yeah.
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 But
wheels up, trays locked.
Exactly. Exactly. But, well, Connor, this has been a fun conversation. I really appreciate
it.
It's been
great catching up with you. I mean, it's the first time I've interviewed with him because, you know, you and Tony did this before.
Right. So. But it was, but it was fun having this conversation. I really appreciate you coming on and having a chit chat with us. And,
you have a good holiday.
Catching up. Yeah. It's hard to believe we're in the holiday season, you know?
This is it. So yes, we dated this show.
Yeah, that's all right. We dated it to start with when I asked how his Thanksgiving was. So we're okay. You know, are you home for the are you going to be home for the holidays then? Is this, you know, or will you be back
I'll
out
probably
again?
Have a couple of quick little like fly in and out things, some co-drive stuff like that. But stuff's really ramping up after the first of the year. So
gotcha. Yeah,
good deal.
That's all. Well, yeah, I am happy. I'm glad that things have gotten back to normal for you, and things are, you know.
Yeah,
when it's your livelihood.
The ironic thing out there in Harrisburg.
Yeah,
I'm hearing about shows coming out to the Hershey Park Arena and Hershey and Giant Center
in
24 already, and they're talking like June, July already, and they're already.
Yeah, I imagine that's
the shows are tickets are on sale. I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, I got a routing. I won't say who it's with yet, but I've got a routing for July and August next year. I'll be out in Hershey.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh.
You know what?
I can put that together quick.
That'd be cool. just to go meet him for like a 10-minute, hey, this is Connor in person. You know, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Because I can definitely reroute going right through Hershey to get out to the
term. We could take a day off. we could just take a day off just to go out and just meet you. That would really be cool, dude. That would... We'll work on that. We'll see what we can do. You know what I mean? Keep in touch with us if you think about it and that kind of stuff. I realize you got a million other things to do and you're a busy dude. I don't mean it in any kind of, I just mean, if you think about us and when you're in the area, you know, shoot us an email or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, you guys are lucky. Philly and the surrounding areas is always somewhere we come through. I went through Reading earlier this year.
Down to Santander.
That's literally like 20 minutes from my house. That's awesome. That is really cool. So
Reading, what else? Allentown, Lancaster.
Yeah.
Oh, you were at Stevie Nicks, PP and L Center?
No, I wasn't.
Just thought I'd put that out there. Because that's the one band that Shipper ever mentioned. That was the time I was up there sitting there on Hamilton Street waiting for the lawyer to get to the office.
Oh, there you go.
They went rolling out. I mean, it's not hard to miss them big, shiny trucks because they're the only ones clean in Allentown. Because I first looked at, where is this guy going? And then the next one the arena's right there.
Yeah, you're right downtown. You know, so.
They folded up the ice and put the chairs in. Now they pick the chairs up, put the ice back out.
Well, Connor, thank you so much for coming on and chit-chatting with us. If you don't mind, just hang on after we sign off and all that. Just hang on the phone for a second.
And give another thing with the...
Carry the load.org.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. if people get a chance to take a look at it, just, you know, look it up. Just take it, you know, take a look at carrytheload.org. And
if you see our bus coming through your town, you know, stop out and say hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a plan.
It really does. Thank you so much, Connor, for coming on. We hope that everybody out there enjoyed this conversation. Shipper, if they enjoyed the show, what should they do? What can they do? What shall they do?
They can share the show. Share with anybody, everybody. I'm actually looking at the schedule.
I know. You're on your phone. I always know when you're on your phone because your conversation stops.
What did you say, June or July?
He's on the phone. Just ask him.
What did you say, June or July, you were out there?
Where?
Out where? In Reading?
Hershey. Hershey next year.
July or August. I'd have to look again.
That's okay. He's looking it up now to see who's going to be at the Giant Center in July.
I already got it already. That's a really big show.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That is really cool.
All right. Well, anyway. Where were we at?
Share the show.
Anybody and everybody, have at it. That's how we grow the show.
Exactly.
And bring on, these interviews with, exciting different people of all aspects of truck driving, driving in general.
100%. Guys like Connor, and we get these are interesting conversations. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Connor.
Anytime, guys.
You take care of yourself. Have a great holiday.
Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Have a good night.
You never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Again. 'Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, and I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. Dreams.